Greetings, everyone. So good to see everyone tonight. Open your Bibles now to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. As we prepare our heart for the Lord's Supper. John chapter 11, and in case you guys are getting nervous, especially Steve, I am not intended to repeat what Steve preached on a few Sundays ago when I was recovering from my foot infection. He did a wonderful job on that story, that wonderful aspect, but in light of April, this is the month of Resurrection Sunday, I thought it was only appropriate to address one of the famous I Ams of John that we see in this passage. John 11, verse 17, follow along to verse 27. So when Jesus came, he found that he already had been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus would come, and went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Shall we pray? Father, thank you again for your word, for Christ, for all that you are. Thank you for this night. Thank you for everyone that's here. Now, Lord, feed our souls, prepare our hearts as we partake of the elements in a way that is worthy, honoring, and glorifying to you. And that we would partake of the elements in a way that will edify, strengthen, and bolster our hope in the future resurrection in the last day. So, Father, we pray as we contemplate and reflect upon Christ as the resurrection, as the life. May we see and understand that he is the source, he is the fountainhead, he is everything. For which, without him, we have no hope, no eternal life. So, Father, we pray that as we ponder these things, may it well up within us a devotion and a love for Christ that was more than before we came. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As many of you know, some of the greatest portions of Scripture is the I Ams of the Gospel of John. And there were several of them. One is, "I am the bread of life," John chapter 6, 35. "I am the light of the world," John 8, 12. "I am the door of the sheep," John 10, verse 7. "I am the good shepherd," John 10, verse 11. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," John 14, 6. "I am the true vine," John 15, 1. Tonight, being this is the month of Resurrection Sunday, it's only fitting to bring to our remembrance our Lord's great declaration in this passage found in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm not going to go through the dialogue and all of the context and everything. That was all done. I'm zeroing in on the discussion between Martha and Christ regarding that spawned this great I am declaration regarding Christ. When we pick up this story, Martha begins to talk to Christ. She goes running out to talk to him. I know whatever you ask of God, he will do it for you. And in the midst of all of this, he pointedly said to her, your brother is going to rise again. What are you worried about? We know when she came with those statements, she was praying and hoping that he would raise up her brother, would have come earlier to raise up her brother. But that wasn't the case. And then we know the story behind that. But then again, Mary responded in a typical fashion, well, I know he's going to rise again in the last day. When it's all said and done, the final resurrection. So, she knew of and understood and believed in the future resurrection. She didn't miss the beat here. Her theology was solid here. Here lies the great follow-up response by our Lord, found in verse 25 and 6. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. It was almost like, quit worrying about that event later. Realize who is the source of the resurrection. Now mind you, he hadn't died and rose again from the dead yet. But we know that within him was the power to raise himself up. All you have to do is do a study throughout the New Testament. You'll see that the Father raised the Son raised himself, and the Spirit. Each member of the Godhead was involved in the resurrection. But it said that I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And so it said that I am the resurrection. This is the great declaration that he is the source and the power of the resurrection from the dead. It is from him that we will enable to have the ultimate victory over death. This is what is known as the fifth of the seven great I am in this gospel. Albert Barnes said this regarding that phrase, I am the author or the cause of the resurrection. It so depends on my power and will that it may be said that I am the resurrection itself. This is a most expressive way of saying the whole doctrine of the resurrection came from him and the whole power to effect it was his, end quote. I am the source. It all comes and flows from me. That's why you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You must come to Christ because he and he alone is the resurrection from the dead. He and he alone is the one who will raise us up in that last day. If God tarries and we all end up in our graves, there will be a time where he will raise us up to life eternal, where we will experience new life, blessed life, what the scripture talked about as eternal life, everlasting life, life that is blessed. John Calvin said it this way, quote, Christ first declared that he is the resurrection and the life. Then he explained separately and distinctly each clause of this sentence. His first statement is that he is the resurrection because the restoration from the dead to life naturally comes before the state of life. I like how he said, hello, you can't enjoy life until you get raised from the dead. That's What are you saying there? Now the whole human race is plunging death, and therefore no man will be able to be partakers of life until he had risen from the dead. Thus Christ showed that he is the commencement of life, and he afterward adds that the continuance of life is also a work of his, I love the word, grace. Not only does he commence us and give us our original life and existence, it is he, and dependent upon him at the sword, will be the continuation of that life when he raises us up from the dead. Jameson Fawcett Brown said that the whole power to restore in part and maintain life resides in me. That's what Jesus was saying. I am the resurrection and the life. Everything depends upon me because I am the source and the power of that. What higher claim to supreme divinity than this grandstand can be conceived? What in the world can our Lord say more that would prove or declare his divine nature, his deity, that he is the second member of the Godhead, than the declaration that I can raise the dead? I am the resurrection. Powerful statement. Too often we did get caught up on that historical event back 2,000 years ago. Instead of, yeah, that's a wonderful thought and theme, and we should meditate and reflect on it. But that's not the only thing. There's the theology behind it all. Matthew Henry said it this way: the power of Christ, his sovereign power. I am the resurrection and the life, the fountain of life, and the head and author of the resurrection. Notice they all say it in different ways. I am the source, I am the head, I am the fountain of life, of the resurrection. While Martha was reflecting on raised in the last day, Christ would draw on her attention to the fact that I am the source of the resurrection both now and then. Obviously, it's just a matter of moments. He raised her brother up from the dead to prove that truth that he says here and declares here. So what did that mean for us? What did that mean for Martha? What should it mean for us? Matthew Henry went on to say these words. Note, it is an unspeakable comfort to all good Christians that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and he will be so to them. Resurrection is the return to life. Christ is the author of that return. And of that life to which it is a return, we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And Christ is both the author and principle of both and the ground of our hope of both. So don't simply just get caught up in that he raised us from the dead. Also take comfort that he is raising us from the dead to eternal life, to everlasting life. Beloved, he is not raising us up from the dead back to this cursed world. He's not raising us back to come back to this place. And we have known it. But to a perfect place. To a place where there is no sorrow, no pain, tears, or sin. But the blessed new heavens and the new earth. Boy, what a blessed life. Eternal life is not simply restoring our existence, but going to give us a blissful existence. That's what you need to also see in the resurrection. Death no longer has its power to keep us in the grave. Christ broke the power of death in his resurrection, and he is the first fruit of those who will follow. This life is eternal life. Everlasting life. This bliss and blessedness will never cease because of Jesus Christ at the resurrection and the life. That's why he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the sort of initial life, eternal life. But that's not true of the unregenerate, of the lost, those who have rejected. They will be raised from the dead to experience the second death, to experience the cup of the wrath of God, because they have rejected Christ as the answer and source of life. That's why back in our text, look at verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Clearly, gospel invitation here. A message of, I am the resurrection. He turned everything back onto himself and the reality of what every man, woman, and child need to come to the realization that they need Jesus Christ. And one of the things we should always remember, and when we come to the Lord's table, is to do all things in remembrance of him and think of all of the elements and aspects that he shored up to guarantee our future eternal life with him. One of them is right here. The question is, he said, those who believe in him, though he may die, though he may die and be buried 6 feet under, they shall and will live. Now, I know what I said this morning in Proverbs. This is not a proverb. This is a promise. This is a solid, rock solid, we can go to all eternity with this one. This is a promise to bolster hope, strength, encouragement, comfort. No matter how difficult and dark and sorrowful this world is and become. He who believes in me shall live. Is the answer. He has said that throughout the book of John. John chapter 5 verse 21. For as the Father raised the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he wills. Praise God for his electing love. John chapter 6 verse 39 and 40. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he had given me, I shall lose nothing, but should rise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hello. That was in Gospel of John chapter 6. Martha was paying attention to it because she, 4 chapters later, was able to restate it back to him. Oh, I know he'll raise up in the last day. Because she knew her brother believed in Christ. No eternal life, no resurrection existed apart from Jesus Christ. Noted verse 26 as he continued. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Straight up, ask her the question. Do you believe this? Was he questioning her salvation? I don't think so. Every once in a while, we need to be at that question so we would make a bold, crystal clear statement. Of course I believe that Jesus is the Christ. But again, he restates it. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Shall never die. Now, that doesn't mean never die physically. We're talking about never die eternally. When we talk about when they die, because he just said in the previous verse, we may die, but you who believe in me will live. And then he restates it again, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. He is talking about the eternal state. And posed a pointed question. Do you believe this? I posed the question to you tonight. Do you believe this? Jesus is asking you the question tonight. If you do, praise God for His grace. Partake of the element with joy. If not, look to Him. Flee to Him. Run to Him. Wait no time. Could you know not what the day or hour may hold? You don't know what guarantee that if you'll live to make it tomorrow. Do you believe this? And here now comes in verse 27, Martha's great confession. Not confession of her sin, a confession of who Jesus is. Verse 27, she said to him, "Yet, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Wow, what a powerful statement. What a powerful declaration. What a powerful confession of who Jesus is. I believe one of the whole reasons for this whole story, as we learn as we are journeying beginning our journey in the Gospel of John, the purpose of John based on John 20:31 is that these were written that you would know that He is the Christ, the Son of God. What did she just say? This of all the illustrations and all the miracles and all of the stories and parables and so on and so forth, this one would lift it out for John to prove that point. We get caught up in that. Boy, Jesus wept. He stinketh now. Look, He rose from the dead. Let's not miss this declaration. This confession of Martha ranked with the other great ones in the New Testament. For example, Peter in John chapter 6:69. "We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Great confession. Even John said it, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. We see it all restated again right here in the context of John 11. So, do you believe this? Her answer, "Yes, I believe." It wasn't enough to simply say yes. Raise my hand, sign the card. She made a bold-faced, clear articulation of what she believed. "You are the coming prophesied Messiah." That's what the word Christ means. He is the anointed one, the one that all of the Old Testament talked about that was coming. That word, they declare that He is the Christ, the God-man, to embrace the incarnation is profound. Not only are you the Christ, you are the Son of God. She not only declared His humanity and His mission, but His deity, God. Let there be any doubt who had come into the world. Man, that is nothing more than another way of saying the incarnation. And the Word became flesh. So, beloved, as we come to partake of the elements together, may we rejoice in the fact that we have unshakable confidence in the words of our Lord and the resurrection and the life. He is the source. He is the fountainhead. He is where it all happens. If it wasn't for Him, we have no hope. We're still dead in our sins with no hope. So when we partake of the elements, reflect upon that great truth. When all of nature is waking up from the dead of winter, and life is teeming all around us. Think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where they thought he was dead and done and gone. Nope. I'll never forget the title of a message one time. Yet it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And that is riddled with so much hope. Yes, he's there. He has accomplished what he is supposed to do. But wait. He's going to come forth in power. He'll conquer death, where we too can say, death, where is your sting? All because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the giving of your Son, the truth of the resurrection. We all die because of sin. For the wages of sin is death. The Bible makes it clear that we die because we're sinners, not because our biological ticker quit, not because of our genetic ceased to work, our brain is ceasing to fire all kinds of messages throughout the body to keep it alive. No, we are a living soul who will and does answer to God. And if we're outside of Christ, we will die in our sins. Oh, Father, if anyone here tonight do not know Christ and who continue to resist and reject and put off, oh, may they see the folly of it. May they see the amazing love in the cross that Christ came as a substitute for sinners. For sinners who come to him, who with open arms and hands of faith alone, with nothing to bring but to lean on Christ. Father, thank you for that hope. And though, Lord, we may one day die and be put in the grave, long after our service, there is coming a day of the great resurrection. And there will be those who will be raised from the dead unto life eternal, others to eternal contempt. Oh, Father, thank you for allowing us, because of the work of Christ, to be among those who will experience that blissful day of resurrection to life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.